You're listening to a digital recording from the LDS Homeschool Conference in Southern Utah.
Okay, we'd better get started so that we have plenty of time to listen to Julianne Kimber, who I'm so excited to introduce. And I went to go talk to her and Glenn and ask them what I should say about her. And this is my favorite. You guys, today is their 51st wedding anniversary. 51 years ago, they were married by Spencer W. Kimball. And today, to celebrate, they are here with us. Is that not the coolest thing ever? I think we should just, put on a party or something. So a few other things about her. She's written 110 books and study guides. 110. I may or may not have written 110 pages my whole life, but she's written 110 books. One of them, her book, I Love America, Brother Kimball was telling me that President Reagan sent her a letter and said, I have this here in the White House, and this book is so awesome. I don't remember exactly what he said, but basically, I love this book. And that's not bad. I think of all testimonials, President Reagan is a pretty good one, right? Okay, so also, she has a master's degree in education. She is the mother of 8 and the grandma of 31, and is just a wealth of knowledge. I am so grateful for them. Because of them, I started my homeschooling journey, and they don't know that, or they just learned that right now. But I'm super grateful for them and the way that they share their message in the world. And we are very excited to listen to Julianne today. So let's give her a big round of applause. Do you want this in here?
Yeah. Thank you very much. That was a nice introduction. I'm really happy to have my hubby here with me. I don't know if you know Glenn Kimber. He's sitting right there, so he came with me today, and so glad to have him with me on this special day. Last year, this time, our children gave us a big 50th anniversary, and boy, that was a fun day. But after that, you know, it's just one more year, right? But I'm so happy to be here and so happy to be talking about what we're going to do today, and that's on keeping the love for America alive in our children's hearts and in their minds and in their lives. So important right now, because especially right now, there's so many negative things. There are so many negative things going on about America. And to have them understand a little more about really where our roots come from, where their heritage came from, and how important it is to keep a positive attitude about it, because they need to understand, our children need to understand, America will not fall. It might be cleansed, but it won't fall. Brigham Young said that he saw a vision of America in the last days, and the American flag was flying over this nation. So to keep them with that attitude and understanding of it's going to work out, we've got to work at it, but we need to understand our real, true roots. So in our homeschooling, there really are three things that our children need to have that the public school will not teach our children. And this is what moms and dads both need to teach their children. A love for and an understanding of religion, whatever religion they are, the scriptures, a love and an understanding of Heavenly Father, and a love and an understanding of their country. These three things have been taken out of the public school system. That's why it's on its way down. It's not teaching our children the things they should. They might be getting math, they might be getting all these other things, but they're not getting those three most essential things. So I thought we have a little outline for you. Do you mind passing that out? I hope you all have a pen, a pencil. We're going to go through a little fill-in-the-blank outline. Now, my father, maybe you don't know, is Cleon Skousen. He loved to do a fill-in-the-blank workbooks. If you've ever seen his Treasures of the Book of Mormon, they're all fill in the blank. He said you learn so much more by having to fill in a blank, and it helps you remember. How many times, Glenn? 8 times more. So it really sticks with you. So that's why we've done this little fill in the blank. This is a basic outline of, you can use this, and if you want an extra copy to make copies of, you certainly can have that. Just teaching our children the basics of our constitutional government and how it really works. And when they go through this, then, and you and all of us, when we understand these principles, when you watch the news and when you see what different people are doing in the government, it makes it so much more clear on exactly where they really are standing, where they really are. So I thought we'll just go through this and fill in the blanks, if that's all right with you, and then you can use this, definitely have permission to copy it or whatever, for your children as you teach them these basics. Do we have any questions or comments before we start in? Okay. All right, so let's start it right at the beginning. I love America. Let's pass it on. Boy, do we need that positive loving of America right now. America has the best form of government in the world. What is government? What is it anyway? Government is when people join together and agree on how they will behave. You agree with that? Isn't that kind of what it is? How they will behave in public. Now, there are three kinds of government. Sometimes people are forced to join together by a powerful bully. Now, children don't understand bully. A bully wants to boss or rule over everybody and will make his own laws. This is called ruler's law in political sense. Some people do not want to agree with anyone and do not want public laws at all. When there are no laws or rules, it is called, you want to fill in the blank? Anarchy. That's right. And some of you may have studied this before, and it might not be new to you at all, but it's kind of good to have it written on a child's level to help them understand. Sometimes people join together because they want to. These people decide together on the laws or rules they want to live by. This is called people's law. Our founding fathers, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, and others, were inspired to create a government in America with laws made by the people. You can fill that in, right? Of the people and for the people. They wrote these laws in a document called the Constitution. The Constitution was based on people's law. So let's look at the three kinds of governments one at a time and see how they compare with each other. If any of you have read The 5,000 Year Leap or The Making of America by my father, you probably recognize all this, right? All right, this is the government measuring stick. And you know, you could have fun with this. You could have the children make one, you know, and make it... have them draw and put different parts on it that, as you talk about them. The Founding Fathers' government measuring stick shown here, helps us to understand the three kinds of governments. Number one, on one end of the measuring stick, the founders said it represented 100% of government control. This they called ruler's law. Remember, the bullies are in charge. Write ruler's law in the blank below. On the other end of the measuring stick, the founder said it represented zero government control, or no laws at all. This they called anarchy. No one is in charge. Write anarchy in the blank below. So let's take a look and see what these really mean. Closer look at Ruler's Law. See this upside-down pyramid. Ruler's Law is like this. Let's fill it in. The ruler is the largest and most powerful part of this pyramid because the ruler is in charge. Like a bully, the ruler makes the laws, forces people to obey them, and puts people in prison if they don't obey. Write ruler in the top space. The next space, we have states. States do not have as much power as the ruler. State leaders do what the ruler tells them to do. Write the word state in this space. Now inside the states, there are many cities. See how little power the cities have compared to the ruler at the top. The ruler tells the city leaders what they can and cannot do in their city. Write the word city in this place. Now you can see this is way oversimplified, you know, and oversimplified. But just to get these concepts in their minds of how this works, how the ruler's law works, they'll understand. Now inside each community, there are lots of families. Oh, did I skip? Inside each city, there are many communities or neighborhoods. Community leaders cannot make their own laws. The ruler does that. Write the word community in this space. Now, inside each community, there are a lot of families. The power of families is small under ruler's law. Rulers can take away the rights of the families to be together. You agree with that? Write the word families in this space. The space at the bottom is each individual person. See how little power, should say little power there, how much power the ruler has over the one little person at the bottom. No person can make or change any rules under ruler's law. People are always unhappy when a bully is in charge. So draw a little stick figure in this tiny space. And make him look kind of unhappy there. So do you remember where this pyramid of ruler's law should be placed on the government measuring stick? Way over on the far left. The founding fathers did not like ruler's law. Now, if you're teaching older children on this, you can explain to them that way over there on the far left is also, you'd have communism, socialism, democratic socialism, fascism, all those go on the far left. Some people think fascism's on the right, but it's all the way. It's just right of communism. Yeah, but it's over on that tyranny side, ruler's law. So let's take a closer look at anarchy. Wow, what a mess. Anarchy is terrible. Everything is disorganized. There's no one to protect anybody. So look at these squares down here that are not connected to anything. There's no firemen to protect our homes, no policemen to keep us safe, no schools to go to learning, and no hospitals to take care of the sick, no stores for buying food. So just all of this is non-existent because there are no laws, no rules, no one's in charge. So this anarchy's terrible. In fact, there probably never has really been pure anarchy at any time because somebody's always got to come forward and put some kind of order to when this begins to happen. This did happen close, you know, just about after every World War One, over in Germany. They had a lot of anarchy going on there. And that's what allowed Hitler to come to power, because they just needed somebody to put everything back in order, and he seemed to have the formula, so they were all rallying around him. So it's quite a story. So we can see what happens when there's anarchy. People rob others to get what they need, and nothing is safe. It doesn't matter what is stolen, broken, ruined, or killed, because there are no laws. There is no order, so people run away to hide from the robbers. The bullies begin to fight each other for power. Soon the people beg for somebody to take control and put things in order. Usually, one of the top bullies comes to power, and ruler's law starts all over again. Just kind of like the cycle of pride that we have in the Book of Mormon. It's the cycle of tyranny, they call it. Same type of thing. So, down here at the bottom, do you remember where anarchy is placed on the government measuring stick? Way over on the far right. Founding fathers did not like anarchy. They did not like ruler's law. So what could they do to give America a good government? So on the next page. Over 200 years ago, Heavenly Father raised up a great and wise men called our founding fathers. We have already mentioned some of them, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin. There were others too. Heavenly Father inspired these great men to create a government that would bring order, peace, freedom, and happiness to the people of America. The Founding Fathers studied government and the Bible. They knew Heavenly Father had a way to protect people from rulers' law and anarchy. He inspired the founders to put together a government that allowed the people to make the laws so they could govern themselves. They called this system people's law. You can write that in the blank. See that eagle put right in the center. People's law is right in the middle between ruler's law and anarchy. The founders called it the balanced center. With people's law, there was enough government to protect the people, but not too much government to abuse the people. All the power was in the people. They could make their own laws. People's law protected the citizens' inalienable rights. That is a big word. What does it mean? Anybody want to volunteer? What's an inalienable right? I'm sorry? God-given rights. Okay, that is right. God-given rights to do what? Good question, huh? A lot of people don't get further than that. They would say, yeah, God's rights gave us these rights. Well, my husband, he gives this lecture too, and he says on other things, and he says that God also gave us inalienable wrongs. The Ten Commandments, we also have inalienable wrongs. So here's kind of a real simple definition of what an inalienable right is. Because Heavenly Father loves us, He has given us commandments. When we obey His commandments, we are happy. The right to obey His commandments is called an inalienable right. So, if a government tries to take away our right to keep Heavenly Father's commandments, it is taking away our inalienable rights. So, an example of that, the government said we can't go to church. It has taken away an inalienable right to obey that commandment. So if they make laws that it's okay to steal, then that's taking away our inalienable right. All right, so let's take a little closer look at people's law. Any comments, questions, ideas before we move on? Okay. Oh, yes, please do.
I have an opportunity to travel around the country. I find this one thing. People do not know how to teach their children what an inalienable right is. They think an inalienable right is the right to do anything a person wants to do. But when Jefferson spent 16 days studying economy, he before you wrote the Declaration of Independence. And when he finished, Madison, Adams, Franklin, Washington all said Jefferson became their mentor. So they found out that when Heavenly Father gives a commandment, he gives you the right to obey it. That's called the inalienable right, as we discovered. There are no inalienable rights that are not connected to anything other than a commandment. That's what inalienable means, to obey a commandment. Even when it says thou shalt not, it means you have the right not to do it. But with every commandment is a right. Hence, with every right, there has to be a commandment. So when I have people say to me, Dr. Kimber, I've got the right to do this, I'll say, find it in Scripture. If you can't find it in the Scripture, you don't have the right to do it. Not in any way.
So in the Declaration when he said, and among them are the pursuit of life, or are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. What's the commandment of life, or liberty, or pursuit of happiness?
Yeah, he put it in categories. These are three categories. Within the right of life are a whole bunch of commandments. With liberty, there's a whole bunch of commandments. With pursuit of happiness, there's a bunch of commandments. They are not rights by themselves. They are categories of rights. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so people would say to me, they come on the radio and say, God made me this way so I can live this acceptable, ultimate lifestyle. And I'll say, remember, feelings do not give you the right to do anything. You can have feelings to steal. You don't have a right to steal. You can have feelings to do something evil to young children. You don't have that as a right. Feelings are not rights. Commandments are rights. And every inalienable right can fit within the three umbrellas. And every right has to be attached to a commandment. Or it's not inalienable. If it's government, it's called vested. So when we say what's an inalienable right, it's a right that comes from God to do what?
Okay.
Anything you want? No. The right to do whatever God commands you to do, or the right to not do what He commands you not to do.
So
thou shalt not steal, you have the right not to steal.
So healthcare isn't a right then?
No, health care is not a right. That's very good. Okay. Yeah, we could get into a lot of stuff with that, yes.
I think that because we're doing when we give the government the authority to do something, what we're saying is, I'm going to put this gun to your head, and now you're going to keep this law. And if it can't pass this, I can kill you because you don't keep this law or put you in jail, then it does not belong to the law. I think most people, oh, it keeps us safe, or it keeps us this and this. If it can't pass this, that it really was worth killing you for it, then it really does not belong in the books. And that goes for almost all the law, pretty much all the regulations that we have existing. And you've got to understand that. That is what we are telling the government they can do. I can put a gun to your head and tell you, you have to do this. And that's exactly what it means, isn't it? When that law hits that book, that's exactly what it means. If it is, if it does not merit me killing you, if it does not merit that, it does not belong there. And we really espouse that and spread that and say, no. That's the first place this guy hit us. No, that does not belong there. That does not belong there. And if it does hit us, we teach our children and we teach our fellows with these. But if we don't, if it doesn't click in our head, then it gets worse and worse and worse. Then, of course, we know what's going to happen. There will be a day where we're not allowed to speak about Christ. We will be killed. So it, and it will happen. But we are responsible in our own heads and in our hearts to go, this is where it is. And the sooner we start it, the sooner we clean it up, the more possible it is for us here. This is my hope, is that Zion will be here and we will be kept from the rest. But that means we have to clean it up. If we don't clean it up, that means God does. And it's a lot more present. His God.
Yeah, how he cleans things up. Or
but, I mean, really, we have the power to clean up a lot. And the biggest part is us.
Right, and we're going to talk about that right now, on where that power really is. Okay, so thank you very much for your comments, and thank you, Glenn, for that clarification. He, as you can tell, he is the practiced lecturer of our family. Yes, well. All right, closer look at People's Law. Let's look at this. This pyramid shows how People's Law allows everyone to have their inalienable rights. The largest part at the bottom is where the individual person is located. Each person or citizen has the most power. Write your first name in the bottom space of the pyramid. Just above this space is the individual person. Families are organized. Several people work and live together as a family with a mother, a father, and children. Families can make and keep their own rules. Write your last name in this space. Many families live and work together in neighborhoods or communities. The families of a community are called wards, were called wards by Thomas Jefferson. Did you know that? Isn't that interesting? He called them wards, and so that's where our church came up with it. The communities work together to make laws and rules according to the desires of all the families that live there. So write community, or you could put your ward name there if you want. It'd be about the same thing. Here in Utah, anyway. Several communities get together and organize themselves into cities. The people elect city leaders like mayors who make laws that the people in the communities agree on. So which community do you live in? Write your city name in the space above communities. Can you guess what is written in the space above cities? Yes, it is your state name. The people of the cities select leaders to protect their state, so the government will not abuse the state or the people. Write the name of your state in this space. Now look at the top of this pyramid. This small space is where the government goes. It is very small compared to the pyramid of ruler's law. Write government in the top of the triangle. So do you remember where this pyramid is placed on the government measuring stick? Yes, goes right in the middle. Yes, comment. Great. Thank you. It very much is so, because, yeah, the upside down pyramid is going to topple over. It has no foundation. And this way the foundation is each individual, and what they do with their lives makes all the difference. Thank you for your comment on that. That's exactly right. So this is the government. It's in the balance center that inspired our founding fathers gave us. It gave our country freedom, peace, and prosperity. So, taking care of government bullies, how did the founders do that? They knew, let's read what it says here. The founding fathers were smart. They knew that men in government would sometimes try to be bullies. Why is that? The founder said it's because men often seek for power and money. To get power and money, the people are often or usually abused. To keep this from happening, the founders divided our government into three different parts or divisions: the president, the lawmakers, and the judges. So what are those in political terms? Anybody know? I'm sure you know. Executive, right, legislature and the judicial, exactly. In the Constitution, these three divisions were tied down from getting too much power so that they couldn't become bullies, and with what Thomas Jefferson called the chains of the Constitution. Glenn, who was it what government leader said, we've got to get rid of the chains of the Constitution in order to take over? Woodrow Wilson, President Wilson said, we need to get rid of the chains of the Constitution, get rid of this balanced center program in order to control the people. Clear back then. So how did they, Thomas Jefferson called them the chains of the Constitution. How did they do that? They created a magical system called veto power. Another word for veto is no. For example, if the president wants to make his own laws, the lawmakers say no. So the president can't make his own laws. Right there, it shows you how far away we've gotten from the Constitution. Because our president is doing executive orders and saying they're laws. You can go into that with your older kids, but it would make for a great discussion. And if the judges want to punish people without cause, the president says no. So the judges cannot put people in prison for no reason. If the lawmakers want to make unfair laws, the judges say no. So no unfair laws can be created to make people pay high taxes or to bully them. So, I don't know if we want to get into the 17th Amendment, but that's what took these three away from our country, is the 17th Amendment, the Constitution. We got to get that back so we can have our balance of powers. All the divisions veto each other. They keep each other in check to keep the government balanced. This veto power is called checks and balances. Have you ever seen how fishermen catch and keep crabs? The fishermen can put the live crabs in an open basket or a pot, and the crabs will never get away. For as soon as one crab tries to escape, another one will pull it back inside with its pinching claws. That is how checks and balances work in our constitutional government. By law, nobody is allowed to become a bully. Their power is always pulled back with a veto. So we're hoping that that kind of explains to the children how the balance of powers works. Look at the three-headed eagle on the following page. It's an illustration of the three divisions of our government. Can you fill in the blanks? Okay, so here we've got some more blankety blank stuff here. This eagle represents our constitutional government, as the Founding Fathers had set it up. Can you name the three heads, the three divisions? So you've got the lawmakers, the president, and the judges and courts. The two eyes represent what we call Congress. One eye is the Senate, and senators protect the states. Or used to. The other eye is a symbol of our representatives. They protect the people. These two eyes watch over all the people and make sure they are protected from bullying by the government. The arrows in the eagle's claw represent our country's right to defend itself against any enemies. The olive branch in the other claw represents our country's desire for peace. So that is just a real, real basic explanation of how our government works. And if you with your teens or whatever, want to get into how it has changed and why we're in the position that we are right now, where our rights are being taken away almost daily, and why a law might sound good, but it's like taking away your free agency. I think the seatbelt law did that. But anyway, it's because if you want to put your own life in danger, it's up to you. But it shouldn't be a law that you have to. That type of thing. I mean, it's a good law. You should wear your seatbelt, but you shouldn't be forced. Anything that forces you is a bully thing, right? Yes. Right, that's the whole thing right there. They're making us not responsible for ourselves. You'll notice on the news, every time they report a crash, they tell you whether or not they were wearing their seatbelts to prove to you that, yes, you need to be forced. Right, and so the question you can always ask yourself, does that make me feel like I'm being bullied? Now we have 5 minutes. Great, okay, we're going to finish up here really quick. Thank you for all your comments. I would like to have my husband come up and help me. Have any of you learned how to memorize the preamble with hand motions? You have that in your little handout. You can teach this to your children. It is really a fun way to remember the preamble. And this is the 6 ways that the Constitution has given us freedom, prosperity, and peace. You can go through each one of these and see how they've been abused through the years and how we kind of don't have that now, but what we need to do to get it back. So, do you want to sing it, honey?
I was with working with her daddy, Dr. Skousen. We came back from Boston, and he said, I can't find hardly anybody that knows the preamble, which lists the 6 purposes of government. Let's create a way to do it. And we found that if you put it to sign language, you remember it better. Is that true?
Really, hand motion. It's hand motions, not sign language, but yeah.
Well,
technically,
we called it sign
language. Yeah.
And everybody said no, and so we called it Indian Sign Language, and they wouldn't agree to it either. I also have a recommendation. We have enough of these outlines. Take another copy if you want to. And then you can make copies for your family that are not, you know, because you've written in these. Is that okay if you want to do that? We gave the presentation on the seminar in Grantsville a number of years ago, out west of Salt Lake by Tooele. And when we came back to that public school, the children in the 5th grade had put this to music. You can get the song, it's really fun. And they had all the children in the 5th grade come out dressed like pioneer children. They sang the song and did the hand motion. Okay? So put your material down and everybody will join us with the hand motion. Forgive us because we're not singers, but we're going to sing a little bit along as you do it. Okay? And this is what they started. Okay. It happened back in 76. Old King George and freedom didn't make. Some men raised up, true and brave, fought for freedom and lives to save. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, established justice and ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Dear ordained and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Okay, without the music, we'll go through it one time. Here we go. Everybody, come on. We, the people, now don't look at your page, you look up here. Okay? Do it again. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice,
the scales,
ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution
for the United States of America.
Kids will love it. And Dr. Skousen said if you do it 3 times, you'll remember it and you never forget it. So we did another program right after this, and he said, told him that, do it 3 times and never forget it. And here's how it goes. He says, we the people. Looked over at me and said, what's next? I said, yeah, go do it 3 times and never forget it. Okay, here we go. We. I want to hear everybody. Come on.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish
justice,
ensure domestic
tranquility,
provide for the, promote the general, and secure the blessings of
liberty
for ourselves
and our posterity,
do ordain and this for the United States
American Eagle. Thanks for your help, honey. That was fun. I hope you'll have fun teaching all this to your children. I think that's something really, really important they need to know, because this is the kind of government we'll have when the Savior's here. They need to understand it. It's really true. So thank you very much, everybody. Appreciate it so much. It's good to be here with you. Thank you.